버블.
Hello and welcome to Bursa Bubble live on Cam FM. I'm Michael Quintario and joining me as my guest today are Mike Williamson.
How do?
And CJ Donnelly.
Hey.
And we're going to be looking at some of the more unusual news stories from the past week and basically just going from there and having a bit of fun. So, to start off today, we've got a slightly international story. We're going to go across to France.
I like the way it's only slightly international. Like, you know, is the European Union one nation or many? You've raised a very interesting point there, Bendy. I think we should talk about that.
I'm sorry, slightly international as in it's not very far away, not wondering about geopolitical matters.
Well, the title of this story is French thieves steal entire crop of Cabernet Sauvignon. Which I think is actually begging the question, like, how do they know that the thieves are French? They could have been, for example, from the Lorraine region in the northeastern France, and then what nationality would they really be?
So you're suggesting that it might not be... I think they are jumping to conclusions here.
Yeah, and unless they left, like, a big signed note saying, by the way, we're French, which, to be honest, I probably wouldn't trust if I found it at the scene of a crime.
Also, are you sure they were thieves? It could have been some random freak occurrence, like a really strong wind.
I think this isn't the first time it's happened, but...
It could be insurance fraud.
Ooh.
I mean, are there any thieves? Did they leave a note at all? I don't think so. They didn't mention it in the story. They say they broke in, they stole an entire crop worth of grapes using harvesters, which sounds unlikely, because harvesters, you know, use them on corn. You pick grapes. That's ridiculous.
I think you might be behind the times there slightly, CJ. I think these days they might have mechanical devices for picking their crop.
Well, regardless, I think the whole story is full of holes. We don't know that they're French. We don't know that they're thieves. We don't know that it's Cabernet Sauvignon. It's gone. It could have been anything.
apparently, the farmer, Roland Cavalier...
If that's a real name.
I think it is. He said the theft amounted to a year's work and about €15,000.
Did anyone check it was a real name?
I think if you're going to start questioning every single detail in every single news story, we're not going to get very far with any of this news.
Okay, I'll question any detail I think is suspicious.
Is that all of them?
Well, let's wait and see.
So, yeah, about €15,000, £12,900. I'm actually surprised by this. I thought an entire year's worth of growing grapes for wine would net you slightly more than that. I mean, I've seen some expensive bottles of wine, and all the money can't be going to the people who, like, take the grapes and turn it into wine, surely.
You're right, it's another inconsistency. Maybe when you commit insurance fraud, you don't want to claim for the full price just in case they get suspicious. But I think underclaiming is just as suspicious. Not that I'm making any accusations here. I'm just saying, based on the news story, I'm very confused.
Is that based because of the news story or just your life in general?
I didn't actually read the news story. I just read the title. there was a grammatical error in it. It threw me, upset me. I'm off balance.
French thieves steal. Are you complaining about the tense?
Well, actually, I'm complaining about... The title is French Thieves Steal Entire Cabernet Sauvignon Vineyard. And I think that if they'd stolen the actual vineyard, then it would have been front page news. You know, like, major haulage operation goes undetected, maybe. Whereas all they've done is steal some grapes. It's not the same thing at all.
One witness did report hearing engine noises in the early hours of the morning.
That's quite easy to fake, really. All you need is a big megaphone and just something simple like a bit of Meccano, and there you go. Engine noises.
Exactly.
Can you give us a demonstration of engine noises there, Mike? You're looking like you really want to.
Not especially. I don't have any Meccano on me, so...
that's a rubbish excuse. Oh, hang on.
I could jingle some keys into the microphone.
That's what it sounded like just before they started the engine, obviously.
Precisely.
Another thing here. Mr. Cavalier, I assume it should really be Monsieur Cavalier, said the thieves were clearly professionals who could easily sell on the grapes. How do you fence that many grapes?
Well, it's not like grapes are normally branded. They're rather too small to brand, and it affects the flavour of the wine. So when you look at them, most grapes are actually indistinguishable from one another. They're very easy to fence.
So I suggest that we just start sequentially numbering all the grapes that we grow.
Well, why not?
Genetic engineering, a new use for it.
Yeah, fantastic.
I was just wondering, kind of like, so imagine, I don't know, I'm imagining two guys in a pub, and one of them just going, got some grapes. Would you like any grapes? And surely the other one will then question, how have you got such a large quantity of grapes?
Well, I think that the very nature of that transaction discourages people from asking where you got those things. If someone's selling you something in a pub, you don't ask where they got it.
No, but you might do if you want to bring them to justice, and like a morally upstanding member of society.
I'm not going to drink with you anymore.
I think we're learning important things about each other here.
You sound like you're going to get stabbed. Come on, you must have been sitting in a pub and someone comes up and offers you something illegal, and you just politely say, no thanks, I don't want to get involved in this, it sounds like I'd get stabbed.
I think that's a phrase that I've never used in my life before now.
It sounds like I'd get stabbed. Really?
Yeah.
Well, what about when I asked you why you weren't going to attend the knife juggling courses? I'm pretty sure you said that you'd rather not because you thought you were going to get stabbed.
No, the whole sentence was...
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Not one that I used.
Someone comes in selling you DVDs, you're going to get stabbed. Someone comes over, takes the glasses away, you're going to get stabbed. The pub is quiet, no one's talking, that's suspicious. You're probably going to get stabbed. Just don't go into pubs. Dangerous.
Wow. I wasn't expecting that. I wasn't expecting such serious, hard-hitting advice to turn up so early on in the show.
Yeah, don't die.
Well, that was preparation. If you wore, you know, Kevlar with you. Just go to pubs if you're wearing Kevlar.
Well, then could you repeat that? I don't think anyone quite caught that.
What about if you just wear Kevlar to pubs? Just make sure you always go to pubs wearing Kevlar.
If you go into a pub wearing Kevlar, that's suspicious as well.
Yeah.
But then you're the suspicious one. So, you know, no one will stab you because you're that suspicious. Everyone's scared of you.
But then everyone starts wearing Kevlar. And the criminals just start picking up guns. And then you have to wear two layers of Kevlar. And then they pick up rocket launchers. And before long, it's very hard to walk. Kevlar's quite heavy.
But so are rocket launchers. So I imagine you could run away.
I know, but who wants to go to a pub where you have to put on five layers of Kevlar and hold a rocket launcher? Also, you can have a pint of beer and buy some illegal DVDs.
Well, I don't know. It's a night out.
Anyway,
apparently this isn't the only grape theft. Apparently there was a similar one reported in the area 4 years ago. I think that's quite a long time between thefts. Personally, I mean, obviously you've got to wait a year for the next batch of grapes, for the next crop of grapes. But perhaps do they base their thefts on how close it is to a leap year?
Well, maybe they know that some years are going to be good for wine and some years are going to be bad for wine.
Well, apparently another complaint had also been filed this year. Because that's what I go to the police to do. I file a complaint.
I actually wish I'd filed a lot more complaints.
There's still time.
Hmm? In general or with the police?
With the police, you know, when people are noisy.
I just like... a complaint, not accusing someone of a crime. It's just a complaint. I say I'd like to complain that Colonel Mustard has been doing strange things with that Spanner in the billiard room.
Yeah, you can't trust those Spaniards in billiard rooms, can you?
I think
we're seeing your true colours here, aren't we, Michael?
What? Me? No, I didn't do anything to him. He was like that when I got there.
Suspicious.
Shall we look at the next news story?
I think we should throw this open to our listeners first, and then we can give them a chance to join in. So, what are your opinions on thefts of all the grapes from a vineyard rather than the entire vineyard, as CJ pointed out earlier? You can get in touch with us by emailing us at studio@camfm.co.uk. Well, I think the web form is working on the website, www.camfm.co.uk. And there's a little letter button that you can click there, and that'll come through as well.
97.2.
Your station.
Your Cam FM.
Hello, welcome back to Burst the Bubble live on Cam FM. With me, Michael Quintario, and Mike Williamson and CJ Donnelly. So we're moving on to look at another news story now. This time we're going slightly further away than France. We're going all the way to Peru. Michael.
Ah, yes. So this is a story that an ancient giant penguin has been unearthed in Peru. Apparently this was 36 million years ago. And really, I can see the reasons why it's gone extinct. Because apparently it was found and about twice as heavy as an emperor penguin. So clearly what's happened is this penguin has thought, you know, he's keep up with the times, maybe shed some weight and put on something more snazzy.
And then died.
Well, no. It sort of changed into an emperor penguin. So maybe, you know, this penguin taught its children how to behave more snazzily, but it was just too late for that penguin. It was, you know, too set in its ways.
We found a new way for evolution to act, making animals more stylish.
You also had to move from Peru to the Antarctic. You don't think that had anything to do with it?
Well, you know, maybe you just want a complete change. Just go somewhere different. Send your son away, like you do to boarding school. Just, you know, kick him out of the house. Go away. Had enough.
Wow. There we go. Mike Williamson, our resident... I was about to say paleontologist. That's not the right word, is it?
Penguinologist. Ornithologist would probably cover it.
Yeah. Oh, God. The name is... Can anyone pronounce this name? Inkayaku Paracasinensis? No, that wasn't quite right. Can anyone pronounce that in names?
Yes, it's Water King.
That's a translation, yes.
Oh.
So what are they going to do with it now that they've found it?
Well, they're giving it a nickname. They nicknamed it Pedro.
All right, so that was one on the list. I mean, what do they do next? Are we going to see, like, giant penguin puppets hitting the shops in Peru, or...?
I don't think so. They didn't name it after Pedro, after a scaly character in a Colombian TV series. So perhaps they're going to... Perhaps they could do Walking with Penguins as a new TV show.
Sort of like where the penguins get a time machine and they decide to go back to darkest Peru.
No, I was thinking more like Walking with Dinosaurs.
Oh, I see.
But, apparently they've determined the colours of the feathers... by looking at microscopic structures in the fossil whose size, shape and arrangement show you what colour the feathers were, which I think is quite clever. I wish we could find out what colour dinosaurs were, though. That's what everyone really wants to know.
So aren't there dinosaurs that had feathers?
That's a point. I'm not sure I've ever seen any comments on the colours of dinosaurs with feathers.
Presumably there might be the same kind of technique one could do.
Yeah. I don't trust Jurassic Park for the colours, you see.
I don't trust Jurassic Park for anything, other than that fabulous scene in which the water judders again and again and again. That's the only thing I took away from that film.
Doom. Judder. Doom. Judder.
Precisely so. I don't have a doorbell anymore. I just have a very rickety set of stairs with a rod that leads to a piece of a glass of water that sits on my desk.
That would require you to pay a lot of attention to the glass. Is this why you don't get very much work done?
Well, yeah. I mean, you just have to sit there in abject terror, staring at the glass in case someone tries to ring your doorbell.
Also, what happens if you're very thirsty and drink your doorbell?
Well, then you're leaving yourself at risk.
But, you know, ignorance is bliss.
So you'd rather run the risk of death just to satisfy your thirst?
Yes. Yes, I would.
Well, if you don't satisfy your thirst, then you run the risk of death. So either way, quite frankly, you're going to be unlucky.
This is the dichotomy of doorbells.
I think I'm beginning to see why this idea for doorbells didn't quite catch on. I also like to point out that it wouldn't be a doorbell.
It would if the glass was actually an upturned bell filled with water.
The other interesting thing about this penguin, moving back to the penguin from CJ's pondering about doorbells from Jurassic Park, is that
dumb.
Thank you. I'm going to just keep on trying to go
dumb.
Okay, can someone just go? Okay, that's enough, CJ. You're not actually getting eaten by a velociraptor, are you? No. What do you say?
I'm sorry.
Good. And getting back to the penguin, apparently the heavier the penguin, the deeper it dives. So if we extrapolate that, then these much heavier penguins would have dived much deeper and had, well, just much more varieties of food, I expect.
You just said the same sentence twice.
What?
Heavier penguins dive deeper. So these ones, which are heavier, dive deeper.
Well, that's what we suspect. I mean, it might not hold. They might have just floated a lot.
I think that sounds like an excellent tagline for a James Bond film. The heavier the penguin, the deeper the dive.
What would the title be?
Penguin Diving, probably.
Oh, come on. I like the fact that... See, the thing is, we couldn't use any of the old penguins because they wouldn't look snazzy enough in a James Bond film. We'd have to use modern Emperor penguins.
But then they might upstage Bond. You know, you want Bond.
Nothing can upstage Bond.
Well, I don't know. Have you seen some of these penguins these days? If they, you know, their suits and stuff.
Their cigarillos. Their easy smiles and wads of cash.
That they just fling down in the casino tables.
Yeah.
They get all the penguin women.
The number one cause of death of penguins is heroin.
I'm pretty sure it isn't.
I'm pretty sure it is.
Well, I think the problem is that, you know, they have trouble with the needles, so they can't get it down properly.
Well, why do they have trouble with needles?
They don't have thumbs.
Oh, yes. I was somehow imagining someone else administering the needles, and I'm just going, I won't get into this penguin.
You mean other people or other members of the animal kingdom? So, you know, maybe the gorillas are in on it.
I was thinking people in the back of these shady casinos are all going to.
There's been a lot of penguins in the news this week.
I like how CJ just subtly hinted that we might want to move on there. There have been photos of penguins in the news, which is even more exciting.
So did you know that you're not actually allowed to take photographs of penguins in London while they're on duty? Which I think is a terrible encroachment on our civil liberties.
That's not penguins.
Really?
No.
Oh.
Moving on. Google, everyone's favourite photographer. Maybe not. Lots of people don't like it and think that they're photographing too many things, but they've expanded their street view to the Antarctic. I question the existence of streets.
Well, you have sort of streets of water. It's the same kind of thing. Maybe if you're just on a canal boat in the Antarctic, as you regularly are, then, you know, you need to know what's about. You need to be able to recognise things, look at landmarks.
Can you imagine putting the Antarctic in your sat-nav?
Well, I mean, maybe not in your sat-nav, but, you know, just to look beforehand and give yourself an idea of where you're going.
Just to be able to tell one bit of ice from another bit of ice.
Yeah, exactly. And also, you can see where all the penguins are, so that if you get lost, you know where you can go to ask directions.
Apparently, they've not got very many photos, but... Where does it say? The Half Moon Island shots are a view of penguins and one of the landscape. I fail to see how this will help you get about.
So that sounds like a grand total of 3 streets, then.
In the entirety of Antarctica.
It sounds about right, to be honest.
I mean, there's a British Antarctic Survey down there.
Is that a street?
I don't know. I assume,
I don't think that's a street. I think that's a collection of people.
Buildings as well, that they can have a street between them if they wanted.
Mighty suspicious.
The other thing that I like is that part of the some of the photos are user contributed photos. Obviously, they couldn't get one of those vans with a big sticking up camera. I don't know why I just mimed the sticking upness of the camera, forgetting momentarily we were on radio. So, if you've got any photos from Antarctica and you know precisely where you were when you took them, then Google would like to hear from you.
It does raise a lot of interesting questions.
Privacy issues.
Yeah, I mean, those penguins could have belonged to someone, for example. They could have been tame penguins. I don't know what the law is if I start taking photographs of other people's pets or possessions. I mean, presumably at some point I start invading their personal privacy.
Yeah, I mean, also I think it's a bit unfair because do they blur out the penguins' faces? because they blur out people's faces on the street view. But if not, then you might be able to get an idea of where the penguins are going to be and when they might be out.
I don't think penguins have rights in the way that you're assuming that they do.
I think it would be a bit unfair to, because let's face it, they're going to be in the majority on Antarctica.
On Antarctica, yes.
I think they should be treated with respect.
This is where our views diverge. See, just because they're a majority doesn't mean, for example, that they should run the judicial system.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm not going that far.
You can't respect the power of a majority over the rights of the minority, the British Antarctic Survey. Their rights have to be protected from the penguins.
Perhaps they need protection. Perhaps, actually, we could go back to your doorbell idea here, and they could put lots of glasses with water in, just so they can tell if the penguins are going to come and invade their privacy.
There's a problem with that as well, which is that ice. In Antarctica, the glasses would freeze, yes.
Yeah, they could put salt in it.
This is why you can't tell if a dinosaur is coming while you're in Antarctic.
Also, if your little hut was surrounded by penguins, where would you go?
Oh, I'm just imagining this as a film now.
I think it was called Ice Station Zebra.
Was it?
Well, it didn't have any penguins, and it had more British spies. And I think it was in the Arctic rather than the Antarctic.
So there might have been polar bears.
Yeah. In fact, on reflection, it was a very different film to the one you were just describing.
Nah, just imagine, like we've gone through vampires, zombies appear to be making a comeback now, I think. And there's definitely been a movie about sheep. It's called Black
Shaun of the Dead?
No. Oh dear. No, there's definitely one about sheep going mad and killing people. So I think penguins are the next up in the animal kingdom to have a horror movie and set it at the British Antarctic Survey. I think we're onto a surefire winner. No. You're not looking convinced.
No comment.
I think we should probably move on from that story. Remember, if you want to get in touch with us, you can email us studio@camfm.co.uk, or you can go to our website www.camfm.co.uk, and you can click on the web form there and send us a message that way about any of the stories that we've talked about so far. We'd love to hear your comments. And Michael, you're sporting some very, very snazzy glasses at the moment.
Yes, so this is the idea that you can augment reality. So the idea is I put on these glasses and they display an image right into my eyes.
That sounds painful. Isn't that like laser eye surgery?
Well, not actually poking anything into your eyes. For instance, if they want to show you a paperclip, then they don't actually poke a paperclip into your eye. They just shine the image of a paperclip into your eye.
How are these controlled? Because I can just imagine someone blinding you by just turning up your smart specs, as it were.
Well, presumably it's the same as, you know, your iPod. There's something to stop someone from suddenly leaping out from behind you and turning your iPod up to maximum.
Oh, that's why I put a volume limit lock on mine.
So presumably we could have the same thing. We simply wouldn't program the laser eyeglasses to shine lasers into your eyes bright enough to blind you. I think it sounds like quite a sensible technical limitation.
Yeah. What would you like to have on your heads up display? I think is probably the military term for this sort of thing.
I would make everyone's face look like John Malkovich.
So it'd be like that film box.
Yeah. What was it called? Saving Private Ryan.
No,
they go into the battlefield and they're all John Malkovich, and they go, I don't know what to do. I've never faced an army of John Malkoviches before. It was a very disturbing scene, and I would like my life to be as disturbing as that.
I'd quite like it if you could just like have a little computer game on there as you were dodging around people, and if you manage to dodge around them successfully, it goes 100 points.
See, most of us call that not walking into people, and you know we already mentally award ourselves those points.
But this way you get nicer graphics. What about you, Michael? What would you like on your smart specs?
I'm not sure, really. I mean, one thing that they suggested you could put on was Clippy from Microsoft Office. I'm not entirely sure why that was that suggestion.
That's a punishment.
Yeah, of all the things to put on, that surely is the worst thing to put on.
You look like you're eyeing this person up. Would you like help with that?
This, of course, sort of ties into the other big news story about Microsoft this week in the news.
There was one?
In which WikiLeaks have launched more outrageous accusations about private companies trying to affect policy without any kind of recourse to the public dialogue. But, you know, most people won't be that interested. So we should probably talk about people hacking into your scary laser specs. I mean, what if people hacked into your specs so that cars were displayed offset by 10 meters?
Oof.
You'd try and cross the road, and the car would have been 10 meters further on. You could have crossed the road earlier. That would be embarrassing.
Yeah. Apparently, they use an acceleration sensor and a direction sensor, so it knows approximately what you're looking at and provides augmented information relevant to where you may be. That's what it's doing at the moment. So it can give you like an arrow. So it can be like a computer game. You know, one of those things where it's like your next mission point is so far away, and you get a little arrow that's pointing over there, and when you get close to it, the arrow moves, so it's pointing exactly down where you need to go.
Of course, there's been riffs on this idea where people sort of give over a very small part of their time and money to organize large tasks. So you split them between about 50 people. So your glasses could suddenly say, pick up this piece of wood and carry it for the next 200 meters. And with enough people sort of logged into the game, you could move an entire piece of wood from one end of the city to the other and back. And it's a very interesting idea.
Oh, I've not seen that before. Well, so like,
normally you have to have one person carry the bit of wood the entire
way. Yeah. Why are we moving this wood?
Well, it's an
example.
It's an allegorical piece of wood. I mean, the piece of wood could in fact be medicine or a baby or a lot of other things.
I wouldn't just like 50 different people with a baby.
Well, I think 50 different people do have babies at the moment.
Yeah, so. you know what I mean. Just if it was my baby, I wouldn't trust it to the hands of 50 random people to get it across the city.
Maybe it's not your baby. Maybe it's a baby you're looking after. I don't know.
I think we're best keeping babies out of this.
Okay, yeah.
Thinking about other uses.
Let's go back to the bits of wood. I mean, say you wanted to build a chair, but you didn't want to gather the materials.
You'd be lazy.
Yeah, but you could wait a week, and people would give you materials because of their laser spectacles.
And then they get points.
Yeah.
And what do points make?
Chairs, in this example. they make chairs. But later on in the week, you could let them sit in the chair.
Yeah, perhaps you could accumulate points and then...
Yeah, you could trade points like a kind of system whereby money and goods and services would be tradable for another analogue of money.
So we could just use money instead?
We could. I mean, it's a whole new world.
I feel like I'm obliged to make a Mario reference and just say that it's the point you could collect coins as you're walking along with the wood.
You could.
Which I think would work very well. You're being very quiet, Michael. Are you just enjoying the idea of this future utopia where people help with everyday lifting?
Yes, I'm just basking in the glory.
It's not just lifting. I mean, it's also moving.
Yeah, lifting and moving. I stand corrected. So, if you could have some of these smart specs, what would be your idea for revolutionising the world? Get in touch with us. studio@camfm.co.uk is our email address. Or if you're listening to us online, you can also just look at our website, www.camfm.co.uk, and use the web form there.
On air, online, and across Cambridge.
Your station,
your Cam FM.
So yeah, that was Take Your Mama by Scissor Sisters. Earlier we had Sweet Child of Mine by Guns N' Roses. You're listening to Cam FM. This is Burst the Bubble. Hello. And we talk about unusual news stories, and in this week we've had all the Nobel Prizes. Which
us personally?
No, not us. Not us.
No,
personally.
It was us. We sent them back.
It would be nice to get a Nobel Prize, but I can't.
It was nice.
But the Nobel Prize to physics went to some people for isolating graphene, which is a two-dimensional flat layer of carbon arranged in a nice hexagonal structure. But they actually used a slightly unusual method for this. Mike,
Yes, so what I like about this is that this is the kind of thing you can do at home just like Blue Peter. All you do is you get some sticky tape and some graphite and you just keep on sticking it and taking it off until you end up with very thin pieces of graphene.
Yeah, possibly the first time ever that a Science Nobel Prize has been awarded for an experiment done with the use of sticky tape.
So, will we get nanobots from this? Are we about to, you know, become as gods?
I don't think so. I think this is just a very one small step along the way.
So normally when people talk about carbon, they start talking about nanobots. But no. this isn't a nanobot story?
This isn't a nanobot story. Okay. This is a sticky tape story, which is kind of like the other end of the scale of science from nanobots.
Yeah, sort of ultimate low tech, really, isn't it?
Yeah. I wonder how the guys just came up with the idea and like, what have you got there? Pencil. What have you got in your hand? Sticky tape.
What's that on the table? It's a chemical bath used for dissolving solutions.
What are you going to do with these three things? Well,
Pete, here's one I made earlier.
I like the idea of Blue Peter Nobel Prize winning experiments.
It would be fun, wouldn't it? Like, follow along at home, become a great scientist.
Oh, that's nice. I think that might be. They're talking about lowering the budget for science. Perhaps they should just like farm science teaching out to Blue Peter.
I think that this kind of story was specifically softening us up for science cuts because people are going to be like, well, if you can win a Nobel Prize,
just sell it
with some sticky back plastic and a bottle of Weetabix. They sell Weetabix in bottles now. Then you know why are we paying for these supercomputers? What are you doing with them?
Michael, what do you think? What do you think about this story?
Oh, I just think it's nice that, you know, we won something because it's from Manchester.
It is. It's from Manchester. We actually do quite well in Nobel Prizes. It's one of the few things that we seem to be reasonably good at.
We have more than France. I think that's the important thing that sticks in my mind.
They have more wine thefts.
Yes. I mean, we're winning on two counts, really.
I know we always get plenty of Ig Nobel Prizes. We're quite good at those.
Oh, wasn't one of the guys in this? I can't remember if it was this one, but there was definitely one guy this year who won a Nobel Prize for something for having won, and it was the same thing that won an Ig Nobel Prize. I think that might have been this.
Well, I think the guy originally got an Ig Nobel Prize for levitating frogs, which, frankly, I think is, you know, very useful. I mean, many's been the time when I've had a frog on the ground and thought, I need it a bit higher than that.
Oh, that's a very valid experiment. It led to maglev trains like they have in Japan.
Are frogs magnetic?
Sufficiently, yeah.
Paramagnetic?
I mean, because it contains water.
I see.
And so they could feasibly do the same thing with us, although...
That sounds like it would hurt an awful lot.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the frogs were fine afterwards. I don't think they...
Okay.
So could we have maglev horses?
So we'd ride the horse and the horse would be magnetically levitated?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. We could cut out the horse. I mean...
But you want a bit of style.
You're right.
So it's important for evolution, as we've seen from the penguin earlier.
So graphite is good for conducting electricity, and it says that it's the strongest substance known to humanity.
What? What is that?
It's in about the second or third paragraph. So maybe we could build space elevators with these nanobots.
Perhaps. I've heard it's one of the slipperiest materials as well, which might also help. I mean, strong thing going up, and then it's slippery, so there's low friction. I think, by Jove, I think we've cracked it.
Wait a minute.
Perhaps we can get the next one.
But if it's slippy and you've built a space elevator, what happens if you just slip off?
Well, you have a pulley at the top so that things that fall down pull things that go up. That's the point of a space elevator.
Obviously you'd have to stop the thing going down, not like make sure it doesn't like accidentally fall down a mine shaft and send your thing going up, sliding off the top of the elevator. But yeah, I think slippery is good.
You heard it here first, folks.
There are now more sophisticated ways to produce graphene. Apparently, that saddens me slightly.
Sophisticated and expensive.
Yeah. I love the fact that the professor, Professor Geim, was nonchalant when asked about the recognition of his work. He just said, "It feels normal." Which, well, I mean, it's
he has won 7 Nobel Prizes before.
Seven?
No, one has won seven.
Like, what? Make sure there's one guy alive who's won two. And two science ones, I think. That's quite unusual.
I think we should sort of try and get Nobel Prizes into children's television in every sense. I mean, why not have kids write a rousing political speech and try and get them to win the Nobel Prize for Peace?
Actually, that's secretly what they've been doing with In the Night Garden. if you actually translate all of those strange noises that they make, that actually just calling on children to stand up and be counted. That's not actually true, but it'd be amusing if it was. Over two of my co-presenters here are looking bemused about the fact that I know what In the Night Garden actually is.
I personally never heard of it. But then again, earlier today I discovered I didn't actually know what a Betty Flop was, so what do I know?
Have you been watching the Commonwealth Games?
No.
Did someone do a belly flop in the Commonwealth Games?
In the 100-metre relay, which is the embarrassing thing. They were quite badly injured.
And they weren't even at a hurdle.
Oh, dear. But where did you learn about a belly flop today?
Where did I learn about it? Charades, essentially.
Charades?
Yes, I was supposed to do the action of a belly flop, but I didn't know what I was doing.
Well, how did you act it out then? I'm intrigued and slightly concerned.
Why don't you show us via the medium of radio?
Okay, you show us and we'll describe what you're doing so all of our listeners can recreate the picture in their own minds.
Okay, well, there isn't really room for me to do it here, so I'll just
There's
do it with
plenty
my...
plenty of room in here.
I'll do it with my hand. So essentially, what I did was this.
He's just clapped and just wiggled his hand about on top of each other. That's not that.
That looked like a falling seesaw.
Oh yeah. This was another idea we had today. Was that we could have more fun rooms around. So you could have, say, a seesaw room.
Okay. So charades wasn't enough for you. You had to start go designing seesaw rooms.
Yes. Or you could do charades in the seesaw room.
Ooh. Combining things there. I think that's enough science talk for now. As always, if you'd like to contribute to the sum of human knowledge, you can contact us studio@camfm.co.uk. But now we're going to look at I'm going to go slightly more musical here. The FBI apparently seized a set of John Lennon's fingerprints from a New York memorabilia dealer who was going to put them up for auction. So I was wondering, is that the sort of thing that people really like? Like, fingerprints? Just in case you've met John Lennon? You just want to go, I want to be able to tell if he's the real John Lennon?
Well, I would want them so that I could make my own fake moulds for my fingers.
And you can pretend to be John Lennon?
Precisely. I would commit crimes in the style of, the 1960s, and they would look for the fingerprints, and they would find the fingerprints of John Lennon, and... it would
be
sort of
horribly confused.
Call into question our very knowledge of the universe.
Yeah,
which
life,
I think
life and death.
What most criminals are really trying to do with their work.
So are you saying you'd be an avant-garde criminal?
I don't know what avant-garde means.
I'm not sure, but it sounded appropriate there.
Yeah, I think I probably would be. I'd look it up first.
You'd take it into the realm of modern art.
Yeah.
Theft of gold bullion with added questions of existentialism.
Well, if you get the police officers confused enough, they'd stop looking for the criminal and just start looking for themselves.
But surely they could just go to one of those signs downtown that says "You are here," and then problem solved.
No, but then they're downtown, and I'm scot-free.
I like the fact that the FBI have said this really has nothing to do with John Lennon per se. It has to do with a government document.
I think that the FBI just want to pin some crimes on John Lennon.
They're just going, yes, we've identified the criminal using new evidence that we have just obtained. Yes, I think that... No! I just can't see this happening.
Well, I think the FBI have a very staid image. You know, you think of them in dark glasses, dark suits, well-pressed shirts. You don't think of them fabricating crimes to pin on dead rock stars. I mean, who's next?
I think it's just a big prank.
Why not Freddie Mercury? Has he been accused of any crimes?
I don't know. I don't know if they have his...
There's still time.
Well, yes, if you're going to start pinning crimes on dead people, then surely there's not so much of a time limit at all.
Precisely. In fact, the longer the better.
The owner will now have to decide whether to try to get the card back.
Well, so they could always break in, construct some wax fingerprints whilst there, and then it would appear that John Lennon had stolen his own fingerprints. And that would be even more confusing.
Wow. Just layers upon layers there, I think.
I'm waiting for another 5 years before I frame Howling Wolf for shooting Robert Johnson.
Who?
Oh, precisely.
Wow, that sounds far too cunning. Far too cunning for me.
Your city. Your station. Your Cam FM.
Yeah, welcome back. It's almost the end of this week's Burst of Bubble. We've just got a couple of stories to quickly rush through. Quite appropriately rushing. People have been rushing to hold their weddings today, apparently, because they like the 10-10-10 date. Apparently, it's good luck. That's what people think.
I think it's a cynical ploy to lower your carbon output.
What? How?
Well, married people live in fewer houses than unmarried people. And
we can work it out from there,
yeah, essentially, yeah.
I like the fact that in binary it's 42, so in honour of the late, great Douglas Adams and the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, I think that's quite nice. And your stories, Mike?
Yes. So, apparently, people are so fond of falling asleep in the Barbican Theatre, they're actually going to do a show where all you do is fall asleep in Barbican Theatre.
It's going to be a slumber party, apparently. Everyone's going to be putting up beds and everything.
Yes.
I'm not sure that's a show as such.
I think that sounds more like a hotel room.
Yeah.
Well, there's also going to be serenade in there, and every time I go to a hotel, I've certainly never been serenaded.
It's £42, which, considering it's in London, I don't think that's...
That's quite a good hotel price.
That's quite a good rate. I mean, this might be a new way for things to branch out. Yeah. I pay that to stay in London for a night.
Yeah. I mean, I hope there'll be a full backing orchestra.
Okay, we've got new crisp packets made out of potato peels. That sounds... I wonder, how do they make these hygienic? Do they wash it all?
Presumably, the potato peel packets will then have other packets.
No, I don't think so. I think the potato peel packets is the packets. Although, thinking about it, that's kind of like a potato, to be honest, isn't it? Putting crisps inside a potato peel packet is like giving you the original potato.
Yeah, only, you know, cooked. In fact, what they've come up with here is the baked potato.
Yeah, and now quickly, predictions for next week's news. Quick.
Hammers discovered to be sentient.
And Michael?
Tiny monkeys with enormous whackers take over London.
All right, thank you very much. Good night, everyone.